Wild and Blue by Willis and Shante, who will be performing their award-winning short play, Kiara and Wendell, Saturday, November the 16th, 2013, 8 o'clock a.m. to 3 o'clock p.m. at the Vortex, located at 2341 East Olympic Boulevard. The play is about a Vietnam veteran trying to adjust back to the community. They're here with us in the studio to talk about the play and the upcoming performance at the Stand Down this Saturday at the Vortex. Welcome to the Coon Round Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson with my co-host Earlene Anthony coming at you live from Skid Row Studios. Our call-in number is 800-893-9562. Listen to us live or download our show and any past show by Googling in skidrow.la and hit Coon Round Report. Also watch us live by hitting live video. Now this week on the Coon Round Report, we are celebrating our veterans on this Veterans Day, Tuesday, November the 11th, 2013. I am a veteran, U.S. Marines, 1969 to 71. And I come from a family of veterans. Out of a family of seven males and two females, six of us served in the military, two in the Air Force, three in the Army, and I served in the Marines. And we have on the line two of my brothers that served in the Air Force. Rashad Wali Muhammad, coming at us from Las Vegas, Nevada, and Reverend Freddie Johnson, coming at us from Memphis, Tennessee. Rashad, Fred, welcome to the Coon Round Report.
Thank you. I'd like to greet you brothers with the greeting of peace and love.
Peace be upon you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Let's, coming out of Memphis, it's Freddie.
Yeah, let's start with Reverend Freddie Johnson. Can you tell our listening audience what branch you was in and what years you were in?
United States Air Force, September 64 to April 69.
Mm-hmm. And now, let me ask you this, Fred. What advice would you give these young veterans coming out of these war zones and trying to adjust back to society?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say to them thanks for their service. And in order to adjust back to society, you have to come back to society. And what I'm saying is, when you come back to society, apply, make sure you do this. Apply for your benefits. And you might not get them right away, but don't give up on them. If you could be denied or anything like that, keep applying. Because the military do offer you the opportunity to appeal any decision that they may make in your behalf.
Mm-hmm. But the most important thing is the veterans coming out of the service to apply for their benefits.
Yes, sir.
No.
Yes, sir. I mean, medical, financially, mentally, just apply for your benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, they might deny you, or you might get them right away.
Okay.
But if they do deny you, make sure you appeal it.
Okay. Now, what advice would you give to these veterans? So many veterans have a problem dealing with the VA. What advice would you give to these veterans in dealing with the VA?
In dealing with the VA, you mean the
Veterans Administration?
Mm-hmm. Just the administration as a whole?
Yes.
Like I just said, man, just file for your benefits. I think that's one of the most important things that a vet can do after returning from active duty.
Mm-hmm.
Is make sure, like education, et cetera, et cetera. You got to file for your benefits. You got to know what your benefits are.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, you have to keep in touch with your veteran representative and, you know, from the Veterans Affairs.
Yes.
And whoever. You just got to file for them and just know what your benefits are and keep fighting to get them until you receive them.
Okay.
Now,
let me ask you this. What advice, What do you think the interfaith community, the church, can do to help veterans, to assist veterans?
Well, that is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really believe that the community is doing everything that they should be doing to assist the veterans out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see so many homeless veterans, you see so many veterans that out on the streets, you know, going astray, don't really know what their benefits are,
mm-hmm.
and where to go to get help. And the way the community that can really assist them is to make sure they got, you know, proper information out, and that to reach the veterans, you know, on the streets, and let them know what their benefits are. Here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
But and where to go, apply for, and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe that the community can really do to assist the veterans out here.
Okay. Let me turn to Rashad for a moment. Rashad, can you tell our listening audience what branch you was in and what years you was in?
I was in March of 69 to September of 73.
Mm-hmm. Now, what advice would you give these young veterans coming out of these war zones trying to adjust back to society?
Well, the first thing they got to realize that when they come out to war zones, that they have been in a place that they would never thought they was going to be in the first place, and they have been changed from the person they was when they went in there or when they come out.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are mental ill, and many of them just have to keep doing what Fred was saying, you know, make sure you file for your benefits and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And also, veterans got to stop depending on the governments all the time, because veterans got to help veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Veterans that are getting benefits should be helping veterans that do not have their benefits, veterans that are homeless, veterans that are laying out on the street that I see mostly every day while I'm in,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I realized that when a young brother come out, it's easy to get frustrated, and the one thing they should never get frustrated, and they ended up in jailhouses or penitentiaries
mm-hmm.
or on drugs or something like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
because these are the positive forces for this nation,
mm-hmm.
although this nation don't totally recognize them as much. They mm-hmm. think most vets want just money.
Mm-hmm.
They want help. They mm-hmm. want help because they can take care of their families. They don't want to be dependent on other government all their life. They mm-hmm. want to get well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need help. So I feel that all young veterans out there, stay away from crime.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the main things you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the other things you must do, go down there and file. File for your paperwork. There's plenty of information, and there's plenty of places all over that can help you.
Mm-hmm.
But you must go. You can't just give up.
Mm-hmm. So
that's one of the things that the government will want you to do, is just give up. Beg your pardon?
No, go ahead.
I said many times when you file, you're going to be denied. But do as Fred has said, continue.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of lawyers and help and other veterans organizations that can help you.
Mm-hmm.
But you must go down there and do it for yourself.
Okay. Let me ask you this. What is the homeless veteran situation like in Las Vegas, where you at?
Well, as far as my eyes can see, it's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I run into veterans all the time. You know, I run into all the time because I'm out there talking with them.
Mm-hmm.
The poor and the homeless like that. And when I see them, I tell them that some don't even know where to go even to get benefits. You know, the post that's in my neighborhood, the VFW post, is closed down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just sitting there. You know, that opportunity for, it's a big old place where homeless vets could be living right there, but it's just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
It's never open.
You know, okay.
There's plenty of places that you close now where homeless vets could get together and go have places. Find out where employment is at, because everybody don't want to be on a check
yeah.
from the government.
I know
they want to go for themselves.
Let me ask you and Fred this. Can you give us your closing comments? I'm ask you first, and then Fred, your closing comments to these young veterans and to our young people overall. What closing comments you would give them on this Veterans Day?
Well, my closing comments is always a memo that all wars are won in the heart, not really on the battlefield with shooting and killing people. You know, the country have to realize, and young veterans must realize also, that there is a better way of life than just war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, although some are forced, sometimes that's the only way out from different situations that they are living in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I figure you're a positive young brother. Then it is necessary to join the military to take care of a family, then do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a positive young brother, you can be in college, then do it. But everything you must do, you must always remember that war is the young fighting the walls, and the old having them being killed off,
mm-hmm.
To keep old ideals around.
Mm-hmm.
You
okay.
know, so that, you know, so I just feel that vets, especially African-American vets, as I have to say, so,
yeah.
you know, they are the ones that I mostly see on the grounds and everything,
yes.
living in tents and everywhere.
Yes.
But there's all nations of peoples that have fought for this country, and all of them should be recognized.
Yeah, that's right.
As positive individuals, not just someone to be thrown to the side.
Okay. And then how about you, Fred? What are your closing comments to these young veterans and to our young people overall on this Veterans Day?
Well, I would just like to say, even to the military personnel on active duty right now, which will become veterans one day, to, like in the service, just strive to do your very best, you know, be obedient. Don't wind up with nothing less than honorable discharge.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are veterans, war veterans, I mean, that really on the battlefield seen some hard times and still came out the wall to make, you know, positive, you know,
mm-hmm.
positive contacts on the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Like John McCain, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Building the wall. But he's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But whatever you do, young veteran, just stay focused on being a veteran with honorable discharge. And do apply. I say again, make sure you apply for your benefits, and thanks for your service.
Okay, then. Hey, thank you very much. It's my brother's Rashad Wali Muhammad up there in Las Vegas, and Reverend Freddie Johnson down there in Memphis, Tennessee. And then after our community calendar, we'll be talking about other two brothers down south. So thank you very much for calling in. Thank you for being on the program.
All right, love you.
Peace be upon you. Love you very much.
Peace be upon you.
Okay, thank you. And we'll be talking to two of my other brothers from the Army in just a few minutes. But first, let's take a break for our community calendar. Yes.
This is the community calendar for the month of November. Cornerstone Theater Company presents Love on San Pedro. It's written by Jane McManus, and the performance started on Thursday, November the 7th, and will continue through Sunday, November the 24th. The performance is on Wednesday and Thursday at 6 p.m. On Fridays and Saturdays, the performance are 7:30 p.m. And Sunday, the performance are 2:30 p.m. The location of the event is the Los Angeles Mission, 303 East 5th Street. It's on the fourth floor in the auditorium. For more information on this event, please call 213-613-1700. We're asking you to save these dates. Saturday, November the 16th, from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., the second annual Downtown Los Angeles Stand Down for Homeless Veterans. And the location is The Vortex, 2341 East Olympic Boulevard, Los Angeles. And you still have time if you or your organization would like to participate. Contact Judith Bowman at nomotime2write@gmail.com or 626-703-1230. And these are just some of the service that will be provided. On-site medical exams, breakfast and lunch will be served, legal counseling, housing referral, and much, much more. Also Saturday, November the 16th, this is at 8 p.m., Public Work Improvisational Theater Company present Mitch Greenhill and Jack Landrome. They will be in concert, and Mitch just recently released his new CD. And the location of the event will be at the Art Share, 801 East 4th Place, Los Angeles. This is in the Art District in Little Tokyo. Free parking is available, and for ticket information and much, much more, contact Lee Beck at publicworkimprov.com or 323-330-5448. And this one you really don't want to miss. This is one night only. Friday, November the 22nd at 8 p.m., you are invited to a soulful night, an evening of dance, music, and more. Special performance by Glenn Leonard. He's a former member of the legendary Temptations and Darcell of the hit show Solid Gold. They will be performing at the Phoenician Restaurant at 343 North Central Avenue in Glendale. There is a small cover charge. And for reservations, please call 818-956-7800. An upcoming guest on the Cool Run Report, Monday, November the 18th, will have a group of students from UCLA called the Community Service Commission. If you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, please send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com. Attention, Earlene Anthony. The call-in number for the show is 800-893-9562. Now, back to our host.
Okay, thank you, Miss Earlene Anthony. Now, we're back in the studio, and our call-in number is 800-893-9562. We're celebrating Veterans Day 2013, and I have on the line two of my brothers that served in the Army, and they're in my hometown of Greenville, Mississippi, James Johnson, Jr., and Reverend Roosevelt Johnson, pastor of the Evergreen Baptist Church. Welcome to the Coon Ram Report.
Welcome, Brother Melvin. How are you today,
tonight? Just fine. You got James there with you, too, huh?
Yes, he's here.
Welcome to the Coon Ram Report.
Welcome. Hello?
Yeah, let's start off with James.
All right. This is he.
Yeah, this is James Johnson, Jr., a Vietnam veteran also. Can you tell our listening audience what branch of the military you was in and what years you were in?
Okay.
Can you hear you?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, you may have to move away from the radio just a little. I hear the background.
Okay, all right. Okay, I got you.
I was
in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
From June 1965 to June 1967.
Okay. And what? I can still hear the radio in the background.
Internet.
Yeah, they may have to. Yeah, tell them to turn it down.
He turned it down.
Okay. Now, what advice would you give these young veterans coming out of these war zones and trying to adjust back society? I think we talked about it before.
Yes, and I'd like to talk about what Fred talked about and Rashad talked about. You have to get into the program, these programs, man, and you have the Army has a 1 year limit on if anything is wrong with you, they give you a year to report it or to act on it. And after that, they can deny you, which they will most of the time deny you. But what's important is to get into these PTS programs and try to get your benefits. And say if you want to get educated, they'll help you to do that too. Mm-hmm. But you have to start on it right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can wait till later on, because that was my mistake. You know, I waited so long before I even tried to get anything from Uncle Sam. You know, I was impatient. That's what I was.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to find ways to take care of myself, you know.
So now what advice would you give these veterans in dealing with the VA?
Well, like Fred said, man, when you get ready to deal with the VA, you can get ready for a waiting period, because everything they do is a waiting period. They'll take their time about doing things, but eventually, if you're patient, they will get around to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to apply for these things. Now, I had two friends of mine, man. One was my assistant machine gunner, and the other one was my hammer wearer. Neither one of them ever applied for any assistance. And I tried my best, man. I even went to the VA myself and got the forms and everything and gave them to them, and they never acted on it.
Mm-hmm.
So both are dead now.
Mm-hmm. But both of them definitely had benefits coming and all of that.
Of course. They could have got the same benefits I'm getting now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. But they never applied for them, man. And they died before they could ever get a chance to,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to apply for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me turn over to Roosevelt for a minute, Reverend Roosevelt Johnson. Can you tell our listening audience what branch of the military you was in and what years you was in, Roosevelt?
Oh, Roosevelt, here you go.
Yes.
Brother Vervin, how are you tonight?
Oh, just fine. Can you tell our listening audience what branch of the military you was in and what years you were in?
I was in the United States Army, 3 years, 8 months, 21 days, went in July 1st, 71, and came out June the 6th, 75.
Mm-hmm. Now, what advice would you give these young veterans coming out of these war zones and trying to adjust back to society?
Okay, well, from personal experience, when I came back, a transition has to be made. Number one, the vet has to realize that a transition has to be made back into everyday life. A worldly cliche is you dress according to your climate, or you change according to your climate.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep that in mind, and we can make the transition. It might be complicated at times, but there's various counselors and organization out here that is willing to reach out and help,
mm-hmm.
if we are willing to receive that help. But we do have to make a important transition back to everyday life.
Now, what part can the church play, the interfaith community?
Well, the church can always play a part, reach out and, you know, help vet, do what we can, volunteer, drive the bus, taking veterans to and fro from, you know, our various hospitals or their various appointments, volunteer work. And it's a lot that the church can do. Just be there for the vet, counseling sections, and always, which is a very important part of life, is to try to introduce God to the vet to, you know, help through bad situation or what have you.
Let me ask you this, because we just about getting ready to wind down, but what, as a minister, can you think of any scripture that would apply to the homeless and the homeless veterans?
Well, Matthew chapter 25. When the question was asked, Jesus said, I was hungry, you fed me. Naked, you clothed me. That which you've done to the least, you've done it also unto me. Not just veteran, but peoples in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing about being a veteran, even today, and I just want to throw this in because I agree wholehearted with what has already been said, but today my eyes was awakened when I heard on radio they were interviewing General Colin Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was asked, how many vet died during the Vietnam era? And he answered 58,000 vets plus 8 females.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite a few veterans to lose their life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question was asked, what can the community do, you know, to help veterans in this transition, those that are leaving war zone, coming back to adjust to everyday life? And the answer was multiple things that we can do. Some of them are simple,
mm-hmm.
but we want to thank them for their service, make them feel welcome when they come back, even offer vet employment. Tell them how much we appreciate their service and thank them. And sometimes just do simple stuff to help and show our appreciation, such as maybe babysit as they go and seek employment. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's something the community and the church make up the community and the community make up the church.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something we all can do to try to help, you know, vet to the best of our ability.
Okay. Thank you very much, Reverend Roosevelt Johnson, pastor of the Evergreen Baptist Church in Greenville, Mississippi. Can we, James Johnson Jr., let me have a closing comment from him.
Okay. Brother John, closing comment from you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Can you give us a closing comment? What would you say to these young veterans and to these young people overall on this Veterans Day?
Well, I would say if you're just getting out of the service, it's the first thing you do is get in contact with your VA representative and find out what options do you have, especially if you want to go to college or anything like that, you know. Yeah, but the ones that are really, the guys that really suffer from the PTSD, man, they have to. Somebody has to get them in touch with the VA medical center so they can get some help.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because a lot of them won't do it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They just won't do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to have somebody with some influence, family member, or whatever,
yeah,
to try to get them some help.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's right.
And in a little while, we'll be doing a skit dealing with a Vietnam veteran. I really think you would like it a lot, called Kieran Wendell. We'll be doing that skit in about 5 minutes.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We can see. I can see you now on the computer. Will we get a chance? Will we be able to? To see the skit?
Yeah, well, you won't be able to see it. I'm going to play the skit, but we're going to talk about it. They sitting right here. We're going to go into that in just a few minutes.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you back to Roosevelt then.
Okay. Reverend Johnson.
Okay.
Hey, I want to thank you. Thank you very much, and I hope you guys stay on and check out the skit we're getting ready to do in a few minutes.
Okay.
And thank you, and may the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon the family.
Thank you, and Godspeed to each and every one of you and all of your radio listeners.
Okay, and a shout-out to Moms and my other brother, Johnny Johnson, who served in the Army, and my other brother, Robert Johnson, in Detroit, Michigan. Hey, stay strong. Okay.
How about your veterans meetings today?
Why are you always asking me about my meeting?
Okay. Yeah, you heard a little piece of what we're getting ready to get into, Kiara and Wendell. Now, I'm delighted to have with us in the studio Willis Boyd and Shantae Duncan from Positive Light Ministry. Welcome to the Coon Ryan Report.
Hey, thank Melvin.
You. Yeah.
Now, Earlene.
Earlene got a couple questions, and then we're going to hear a clip.
I'm going to do it right. Okay, I know Willis and Shantae, but
maybe our listening audience may not know who they are. Just tell us briefly about Positive Light Ministry.
Positive Light is a catalyst for inspiring youth and basically anyone that will listen. We try to serve, our mission is to serve and inspire and create opportunities for youth, whether it be through music or puppet shows or skits that we do. And we're just trying to inspire and glorify God in what we do.
That's great. I love you guys' ministry. And also, tell me, how did you guys get the puppets involved in the ministry? Because I know you have names for the puppets, and you have some special puppets. But tell me how they got involved in the Positive Light Ministry.
Well, puppets are a tool, a good tool for teaching children. And that's basically why. Is kids love puppets, and just, you know, I mean, they listen and they're attentive to what they're doing, what they're saying. So that's basically, we decided to bring puppets in as a visual to help kids learn, and adults too.
Yeah, I love the puppets. Mm. Especially there's one in there that kind of looked like me with the do-wrap on the head.
That is you.
I thought that was G.
Oh, yeah, that's the other one. There's two.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you are performing at the Stand Down for Veterans this Saturday, November the 16th, 2013, and it's a play about a Vietnam veteran named Wendell trying to adjust back to society. The name of the play is Kiera and Wendell. Now, first, can you tell us a little about the creation of Kiera and Wendell?
I think Willis kind of already had an idea about it. We were talking about it, I think, was it on the way home? Coming from the vortex, I believe.
Right, but I think, not to embarrass you or put you guys on the spot, you guys are the inspiration behind it, because of the work you're doing with the homeless veterans in the...
The workshop.
The workshop that you guys are putting forth for the community. And the idea blossomed from that. You guys are helping the veterans, so we figure, let's see if we can write something that the veterans can relate to, and so forth and so on. So you guys were really the inspiration behind it.
Yeah, I was coming home from the workshop where Willis presented that idea.
Okay. Well, look, let's listen to a clip from the NAACP 10-Minute Play Festival.
So how to go to your veterans group meetings today?
Why are you always asking me about my meetings? Are you really interested?
Yeah, I just want to know if you're making progress.
Progress? What do you think I'm going there for?
Well, I thought you were going there because you're dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder and that they were going to help you find a job.
You think just because I'm a war vet, I have PTSD?
No, that's not what I meant, Wendell.
You think anybody and everybody who's been in a war has PTSD? That's what makes me mad about you people. You're always assuming and you don't know nothing.
Wendell, I see how you play with others, and if you're not getting counseling in that area, maybe you should consider it.
You know what? I don't need to listen to this mess from you. You don't even know me. Maybe I should just leave.
What? You got your feelings hurt? Go ahead and leave then. But you know, tomorrow you have your tie broke butt back here just waiting for me to let you in.
Yeah, why are you always talking that head? Why are you always coming at me like that?
If those people can help you, you need to get yourself together and try to get a job.
I'm not working for these people in this country anymore. Vietnam already took my legs. Now they owe me. Besides, I'm gonna hire a man that can't use his legs anyway.
So... That's Willis and Shantae performing in Kiera and Wendell at the NAACP 10-Minute Play Festival that was performed at Leimert Park a few weeks ago. Okay, let's get some comments on that section. You want to start off with you, Willis? What's happening there?
We were just sitting and brainstorming about, you know,
it's like the first argument that they have, and it's just her kind of making assumptions about him, and then him being angry, basically, for the government and America for him losing his legs in the war, and, you know.
Kind of feeling sorry for himself, too, like your brothers were saying. They don't want, I mean, Wendell's in at least he's going to classes, you know, for help, but he doesn't want to work. He feels, you know, who's going to hire him because he's a cripple. He's blaming the government for his situation. So we were just kind of brainstorming and just writing and going back and forth and seeing how to try to write something that, you know, people would be interested in seeing.
Realistic.
Yeah, realistic.
Yeah, because we see a lot of that today with the young veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, in wheelchairs, missing limbs, et cetera, like that. Can you talk about in this, what I like about it is the relationship between Kiara and Wendell, as Wendell seek to be normal, and now how do you think Kiara view Wendell? Because he's in a wheelchair.
I mean, I think she doesn't necessarily feel sorry for him. I think she's trying to encourage him to get back on his feet. So I don't think she's kind of encouraging him to feel sorry for himself or to have that kind of attitude. I think she thinks that he can still have something to contribute to society despite what he went through. And his attitude is that he already served. I did what I did, and now they owe me.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not taking that kind of opinion or that attitude.
Okay, let's play another clip, and then we'll come back and discuss.
And decorate me with medals? I mean, Kiara, how sick am I? Running, jumping, killing, those were my glory days. But how can I be a hero and a murderer at the same time? How can I climb out of this nightmare?
Wendell?
No, don't give me that. I know what you're gonna say. You're gonna tell me about the man you married that beat you almost every night, cheated on you, and then after you forgave him, he still left you. Oh, and let's not forget about your 3 suicide attempts.
Wendell, I know some people will say that my situation doesn't hold a candle to yours. But that was the end of my world. I tried to end my life. I wanted to die. You hear me, Wendell? I wanted to die. But I found peace in Jesus Christ, and through him, I'm able to move on, to love, and to give back.
What does that have to do with me?
I want the same for you, Wendell.
Well, maybe I should have died on the battlefield. Because when I got back here from Vietnam in this wheelchair, nobody showed me any love. There was no love for me.
Okay. Wow. Whoa. Kiara and Wendell. Oh, let's talk about that. What are your comments on what's happening here?
Oh. It's like the first time we ever heard it.
We heard it from the theater festival. Yeah, that's what biggest argument from the play, where everything's just kind of building up.
The dance scenes.
Yeah.
Oh, the dance scenes, we put those in there because, you know, the audience, to keep the audience into it, and I guess they were applauding or whatever, but it's just something we worked on to, you know, amuse them, I guess. And okay. then, like, you know, the happy kind of set, and then we go into the...
Get into another argument.
Yeah, the reality of her believing because of her problems, and then me disbelieving because of what I seen. So
for Kiara's character, the abuse that she went through caused her to turn to God, and then what
I saw, I couldn't believe that there would be a God, and to see so many people slaughtered
and
murdered, and I'm like thinking, there's no way there's a God who would allow this. Mm-hmm. And on her side, she's saying, well, God did the opposite for me, you know, got me out of an abusive relationship, saved me 3 times from suicide. And that's where the contrast. Mm-hmm. And that's basically, yeah.
And Wendell seemed to be very hostile towards the church, you know, the whole concept of Jesus, et cetera, like that. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a... Do that kind of symbolize where our young people, it's a big fall off of our young people out of the church, out of the historic church, especially the Black church?
I think that could be one of the reasons is if, you know, if there is a God, then why is there pain? Why is there killing? Why is there, you know, all the things that we see? I think people see the church as full of hate and judgmental. And
hypocrites.
Hypocritical, yeah.
And I guess to a lot of my writings, and not just this, there's a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why does God allow things to happen like this? And how come he's not answering prayer or seemingly not answering prayer? And there's a question mark there for people, or I guess a little space for people to think about that. Even though my beliefs are strong in Christ mm-hmm. and God, I think that people can look at it a little bit more openly if we're not always saying, praise God, and he's doing all of these things, and everything's so perfect and wonderful. Even though things are, in my life, perfect and wonderful, mm-hmm. There's a lot of questions unanswered. So mm-hmm. I think our writing kind of
dives into both worlds. I think like I said, realistically, how people think about God and how, I mean, questions that we have that we can't always answer, but still presenting those questions mm-hmm. to show that they're on our minds as well.
Well, let me ask you this question. You know, I was speaking a little earlier, a couple of shows ago, we had the pastor from the United University Church on the campus of USC, one of the old historical churches, go all the way back to the beginning of USC over there on the campus. I think he told us the first president was the first minister of the first president of USC was the first pastor of that church. And we got into the conversation of same-sex marriage and all of that. And we had a great little discussion on it. It always stand out in my mind is that how do you minister? I think I asked him that. How do you minister to just say the gays and the lesbian, et cetera, when you have a diverse congregation like that? Because sin is sin, right? No such mm-hmm. thing as big sin or little sin or anything that. So how, in this day and age, you know, we live in the internet age, information technology. Right. Then how do a person, Adia, you want to comment on your thoughts in relationship to that?
Yes, I have a friend, a good friend. He's a Lutheran pastor, and I guess the Lutheran church has embraced the gay community to the point where they will allow them to be teachers even in their
ministers
and past ministers
hold positions.
And my belief is just the word of God. And in Romans 1, and I loose paraphrase, and I don't know if you want to get this deep.
Yes,
it's deep.
Yeah.
It says that a man should not lay with a man, and a woman will not lay with a woman. But what's the
saying? Exchanging the natural for the unnatural.
The unnatural, and then he will give them over to reprobate minds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Old Testament was to stone anybody like that, but it stoned a lot of people. But mm-hmm. New Testament is basically God saying, do what you want, but there will be a price to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And for any quote-unquote religious organization to embrace that, not to deny them the comforts and the love that Christians are supposed to give, not to, you know, exclude them, you know, embrace them in what God wants all of us to do. Like your brothers were saying, how do you, you know, how do you minister to a veteran? A veteran is just like all of us, like mm-hmm. Karen Wendell. She's got her problems, and the whole transition is he thinks his problems are worse than hers, mm-hmm. but she mm-hmm. tried to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what?
Let me ask you this about how would you make a distinction between a veteran
uh-huh.
who, in the majority of cases, have violated, one of the commandments that say, thou shall not kill. And then even if they not directly killing someone, they part of the conspiracy when you go over and get involved with a war. Now they come back and they want to get involved with the church.
Uh-huh.
So what I'm saying is that you're looking at two violators of the so-called sacred scripture. One that says what you mentioned in Rome,
uh-huh.
you know, uh-huh. and the one that mentioned thou shalt not kill. Uh-huh. See, now, if we look at the person that's caught up in the gay life, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Now, and we look at why is it that this person who, in the majority of cases, have taken another life or been a part of the conspiracy
right.
is able to move up into the hierarchy of the church and right. enjoy all of the benefits of the church. You know, that person that violated the law, he's taken a life and probably more damage than the little gay person,
uh-huh.
but the gay person is limited in terms of enjoying the fruits of the church.
I fully understand what you're saying, but mm-hmm. I believe, and not believing I'm no scholar, but if you get like the translation of that, thou shall not kill.
Yeah.
It means thou shall not murder, okay? Like premeditated murder that you might think about killing somebody and then go and do that. And as you know, Old Testament,
there were wars
yeah.
and God in his word
sent
people to fight.
To fight because of what we said about having sex with animals.
Praying to false gods.
Praying and doing immoral things like that, which now we have doctors. If a guy goes, like she says, and have sex with a dog, or we have doctors that can cure those diseases.
Mm-hmm.
But back in those days, they didn't have mm-hmm. that. So one man could have sex with a dog or sheep and destroy a whole kingdom because they wouldn't know why are people dying? You know, they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, oh, somebody over here had sex with an animal. So that's why God set rules up like that so he could preserve life.
Mm-hmm.
And his armies are, you know, Israel, they were his tool. And I know a lot of people think that this is hogwash and all that kind of thing. Okay, but what you're saying, homosexuality is, in my opinion, a very evil thing. And it's the opposite, like she said, it's not natural for one. But if you really study it, it gets into so many other things that corrode society. I mean, look at it. You know, you get with this guy, you can't have kids, you know? And I'm not saying, I mean, and that goes, I'm not trying to condemn them for that because there's a lot of people that can have kids that neglect their kids and throw them away.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now, let me ask you this before we still got a few minutes. I want to get your comments, but the subject is so interesting.
Yeah.
Now, is there a methodology within the orbit of the church in terms of ministering, you know, I've heard all, you know, you got some of these conservative religious organizations that have all kind of psychology program that they're going to reprogram a person that might be gay and bring them back around and all that kind of stuff like that. Uh-huh. But what is the, how, what I'm trying to ask is how do these individuals fit into the interfaith community? You're saying that everywhere but leadership.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, according to my beliefs, it's a sin. So how can I have someone that would be like a child abuser or child molester?
Like deliberately practicing it. I mean, we're all sinners and we all...
Yeah.
We're not,
no,
we're
he's
not.
Born that way, isn't he? Isn't that what it... A child molester. Most of them are born that way, right? They got a problem, right? So what I'm saying is, do you want that child molester to teach your kindergartners? Do you want him in leadership? You know he's a child molester. He's in the church looking for help. You're embracing him. You're trying to help him. But do you want him over your teenagers and your children?
Okay.
Do you? No, you don't.
No.
Okay. So, okay. But a lot of people are offended and they don't understand that. They want to think we're hating them, but we're not hating. I don't hate homosexuals. But I, according to my beliefs, I cannot accept their lifestyle.
Okay. Yeah. Now, we were winding down the conversation. Let's get a little quick comment before we wind down. Your closing comments on this Veterans Day.
Basically, just wanting to thank veterans and for their service, for allowing us to have the freedoms we have, and sacrificing their lives and their dreams and their goals so that we can live out ours. You know, we can't imagine the things that they go through, and I mean, even after they get out, but. Just showing our appreciation. Hopefully some will be able to check us out at the Stand Down and watch the Kiaran Wendell play and be inspired by it.
Okay. And what's the contact information for Positive Light?
You can visit us on positivelight.org, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/wearepositivelight. So those are some ways to check us out.
Okay, Willis, you want to close and comment?
Yeah, I just thank God for veterans because we don't think about them. I wasn't thinking about them before you called me and told me what you were doing. We don't think about veterans, okay? And I pray for them, and like she said, we can't do anything without them. They're you know, they're the reason we're doing this right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so praise God for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Willis and Shantae, and please come out to the Stand Down this Saturday at the Vortex. Now, I would like to extend a special thanks to Willis Boyd, Shantae Duncan, on the line with my brothers, Rashad Wali Muhammad, Reverend Freddie Johnson, James Johnson Jr., Reverend Roosevelt Johnson, pastor of Evergreen Baptist Church in my hometown of Greenville, Mississippi, and my co-host, Earlene Anthony. Please listen to past shows of the Qumran Report on iTunes, Facebook, Stitcher, and SkidRow.LA. Thank you for tuning in to the Qumran Report. And from your host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, may the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. I leave you with the song that opened the show, Darker Than Blue by Willis and Shantae.
Are we gonna live around this town and let what others said come true? If you get off of me, I'll get up. If you wanna understand me, I'll get up. If you really wanna help me, I'll get up. But in Jesus' name, if you get off of me, I get up. If you wanna understand me, I get up. If you really wanna help me, I get up. But in Jesus' name, I'm gonna get up. People who are darker than you, are we gonna hang around this town and let whatever we say come true? Good for nothing, they all bigger. Just a boyish grown, a shiftless jigger. Now we gon' stand for that.
Yeah.